Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast designed to awaken you to a new reality. For today's episode, you know what day it is. It's Tuesday, and that means it's time for our Tuesday Taoism. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, let's go ahead and get into this. My name is George, and if this is your first time here, first I want to say thank you for checking out the podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to explore the mind and the depth of consciousness that create it. Ultimately, the podcast is here to help you gain a sense of mastery over your reality and your life through mastery of the mind. So if that's something that interests you, you have definitely come to the right place. And I'd like to say that if you find the content of this podcast helpful, I hope that you will consider sharing it with others. It's a wonderful way to support the mission of this podcast. Now, we have a few series here on the podcast. We have our Tuesday Taoism, like today. We have our Zen stream on Sundays. And then I do try to throw in an extra episode, usually on a topic related to mental health. That is my professional background. I've been a psychotherapist now for close to 16 years. So you'll hear about things like mindfulness, meditation, relationships, mental illness, and betterment, goal setting, basically anything and everything that helps you reach those goals, achieve your dreams, and just live an overall happier day-to-day life. So today being Tuesday, we are going to be doing our Tuesday Taoism. And for those of you, again, who are new here, Taoism is based on a book written in ancient China, probably 2,500 years ago, more or less, give or take a few hundred years. And it's a book called the Tao Te Ching, originally written in ancient Chinese. And I say this every Tuesday. It's been translated many, many, many times, probably hundreds, maybe thousands of times. So, you know, translations vary a whole lot. And you could pick up two English translations and you can see how the author completely interpreted the original text in very different ways. So it's something to keep in mind in case you go out and pick up a copy and, you know, you're not reading from the one that I'm reading from. You're like, this is not at all what George said. So be aware that that can happen. I have read several translations. And I always come back to this one. It's by this gentleman named Stephen Mitchell. This has just been my favorite throughout the years. I really like how he interpreted it. There's 81 chapters. Believe it or not, we're up to chapter 70 already. So let's go ahead and read chapter 70, and then we'll discuss it a little bit, and hopefully we'll get something good out of this for our practice today. So this is chapter 70, Tao Te Ching, by Stephen Mitchell, translated by Stephen Mitchell. My teachings are easy to understand and easy to put into practice, yet your intellect will never grasp them. And if you try to practice them, you'll fail. My teachings are older than the world. How can you grasp their meaning? If you want to know me, look inside your heart. That's the end. Very short one, right? Very short one, but at the same time, just from my initial reading, you know, just before I started recording this, so profound. I just find that the author is able to get such vast things across in such few words. That is truly, you know, a genius level skill. And there's just so much that I could say about this chapter. I'll try to be succinct here. But what do we start with? He starts out by saying, my teachings are easy to understand and easy to put into practice. So right there, he's telling you right off the bat, look, everything I've been talking about, right, because we're at chapter 70 now, we're approaching near the end of this particular text, saying this stuff is not rocket science, right? That's what he's saying. This is not like, you know, astrophysics. This is not brain surgery. This is stuff that is easy, right? But he's very, very ingenious in how he says, yet your intellect will never grasp them. And if you try to practice them, you'll fail. Now, if they're so easy, how can this be so? And this is something that has been alluded to over and over again in the Tao Te Ching through many chapters, and something that I love talking about. And it's something that you also see a great deal presented in Zen tradition, Zen Buddhism. And you know, just a little quick review, historical context here is that Zen is considered to be the birth child of you know, Indian Buddhism that originally came from India. And one of the most famous Zen masters, Bodhidharma, traveled from India into China to spread Buddhism. It is said historically that Buddhism that came from India merged through Taoism, which was present in China at that time. And China at that time is basically either Confucianism or Taoism. Confucianism, from my understanding, was much bigger. But Taoism is kind of what seems to have merged, so to speak, with the Buddhism that came from India. And what came out of that was Zen. So when we look at some of the philosophical underpinnings of Zen, which is kind of a strange statement in and of itself, because it's not a lot of philosophy, really. but you see a lot of overlap. You see a lot of similarities. And that's why, for me personally, the stuff that has helped me tremendously in my life has been both the practice, not the intellectual understanding of, but the practice of Zen, and this the Taoism, the Tao Te Ching, this text. So when he says, my teachings are easy to understand, easy to put into practice, yet your intellect will never grasp them, and if you try to practice them, you'll fail. What is being said there, from what I gather, is that you cannot totally make this who you are. In other words, take this philosophy, take, for example, the practice of Zen, and intrinsically live, become that through thinking, through understanding. Whereas, you know, maybe you can compare it to, for example, like a traditional type of learning, right? Let's say you want to learn, I don't know, you want to be a doctor, or you want to be a teacher, or you want to be psychologist, whatever. You go to school, you read, 15 books, 20 books, 30 books, whatever. You take a few tests, you learn, and boom, at the end, they give you a diploma. They say, boom, there you are. Now you're a doctor. Now you're a psychologist. Right? This does not work that way, right? This type of teaching, this type of tradition does not work that way. And it has always been for me, one of my favorite things about, specifically, they discuss this, if you look up information, and I encourage you all, of course, to always look up your own information. Don't just take my word for it, okay? But if you look up information on Zen, on Google, you'll find some key things that tend to appear consistently across different searches. And that is that Zen emphasizes a direct learning, meaning that you can't go to someone and, like I was just saying, read a bunch of books, take what they teach you. You can't sit in a class with a Zen master and have the Zen master teach, and then you could walk out of the class at some point and say, now I'm a Zen master. No, it doesn't work like that. And there's a very strong emphasis on direct experience of discovering it for yourself. And you are not just changing your thoughts. You're not just using your thinking to grasp this. You are actually changing the whole sort of fiber of your being. You're changing your whole consciousness. I often say at the beginning of these podcast episodes that the purpose of this podcast is to explore the mind and the depths of consciousness that create it. And so, is there a difference, right? That's the question there. Is there a difference between mind, brain, and consciousness? In my opinion, in the way that I use those terms, there is a difference, right? So brain is the physical organ in our skulls, right? That does what it does. Mind is a collection of basically memory, thoughts, emotions, even behavioral components to those things. That's all mind, right? The conscious mind is the I, the me, the ego, right? You could call it the ego mind. You could call it the problem-solving mind, the linear mind, the intellectual mind, the one that learns, right? But what makes that mind possible is consciousness, right? It's our awareness is the space within which mind appears. So there is a difference. And what we're talking about, or what I think he's talking about in these first few lines, is that using those definitions that I just used, mind will not get you there, right? The thinking mind, the intellectual mind, your whole consciousness has to be, your whole consciousness has to shift, right? The whole consciousness, everything. And this is why I think he is saying here, your intellect will never grasp them. And if you try to practice them, you'll fail, right? So he's basically saying, if you're looking at this like a set of instructions, or you're looking at this as an intellectual pursuit, you're never going to get it. You're never going to get it. And but yet, you know, he has those first two lines where he's saying they're easy to understand and easy to put into practice. So again, it's a repetition of, you know, this kind of paradoxical nature of Taoism. But it's just those first four, it's four lines, right? My teachings are easy to understand, that's one line, and easy to put into practice, second line. Yet your intellect will never grasp them, third, and if you try to practice them, you'll fail. That's four. Four lines saying so much in just those four lines. Now we have a few more to get through, so let me just pause here for a quick sec, allow a word from a sponsor, and I will be right back. All right, thanks for your patience. I am back. Let me just take a quick moment here, remind you that if you ever want to reach out to me to ask a question, make a suggestion, express a concern, or if you have an idea for a future podcast episode, you can always email me at elucidatethereal@gmail.com. You can also find me on YouTube, same name of the channel, Dreams Warp, two separate words. Find any one of the videos, drop a comment on it. I get notified right away and I could respond to you there in the comment section on the YouTube channel. You can also find me on Twitter. It's Dreams Warp, all one word. You could send me a direct message there and follow me while you're at it. I do post things there regularly that just, I think, serve as nice reminders throughout the day to focus on your breath, focus on your practice, focus on the present moment. So follow me there to get that good stuff. Finally, if you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts and you're enjoying the content, I hope you could take a moment and leave a nice rating and review. It's another nice way to support the podcast. All right, so we got through four lines, and there's not that many lines in this particular chapter. So let's move on to the rest of it. So right after he says, and if you try to practice them, you'll fail. The next line is, my teachings are older than the world. Before I even go to the next line, let me just talk about that for a sec. My teachings are older than the world. So interesting here how we're seeing this term, the world, right? Because one thing that there's a pretty, I'm going to paraphrase it here because I don't remember it word for word, but there is a quote which supposedly the original Buddha said, Siddhartha Gautama, and you know, I always say you got to take that with a grain of salt. We're talking, you know, 2,000, 2,500 years ago. So when you hear quotes, okay, a lot of times I swear I see quotes online on YouTube. I mean, not on YouTube, on Instagram, on Twitter, and it's like Buddha said this. It's like, no, I don't. That doesn't sound like anything he said, you know. I mean, I wasn't there, but I think sometimes people just find really cool sounding stuff and they say, oh yeah, let's put Buddha on it. And I don't think that that's, but anyway, one of the quotes that I've heard that I thought was pretty good, and maybe he said, was that with our thoughts, we make our, what is it? Thoughts give rise to our world. With our thoughts, we create our world. Something like that. Okay, it's two lines. And so I believe, if I'm not mistaken, also there is, I don't remember if it was Eckhart Tolle or Alan Watts. I get them, they're all mixed up in my head. But there's someone also in this, you know, realm of teachings who had said that for every object that exists in our external reality, right, we have a mental concept that corresponds to it. So if I say the word tree, right, you have a mental image, right? You know exactly what that is. And so the question then becomes, you know, when you really, if you really want to get, you know, very intellectual and philosophical here, is you could say, you know, well, what comes first? Does the concept within our mind give rise to the tree, or did the tree give rise to the concept in our mind? And it becomes one of those, you know, chicken or the egg type scenarios, right? When he says here the terminology, my teachings are older than the world, one way to interpret that is that he's talking about mental formations, right? When he says the world, he's not necessarily talking about the planet Earth. He's talking about the world in our minds, right? The physical reality, the world that comes out of, again, using the earlier terminology I mentioned, the world that arises within mind, okay? So we all have our own individual worlds, right? We all have our own reality, which with which we contend on a daily basis. We all have our pros in our life, we have our cons, we have things that we worry about, we have things that we think about repeatedly, we have things from the past that constantly cross our mind, and this is our world. But he says here, my teachings are older than the world. So he's saying again, it's coming, he's again drawing that line between what is mind and what is consciousness, what is beyond mind, what cannot be grasped by that thinking linear mind. So that line, right, my teachings are older than the world. And he says then after, how can you grasp their meaning? This is my favorite line coming up, the way it all syncs together. If you want to know me, look inside your heart. And that is just, I mean, I get a little bit moved when I read that, because what I hear or what I get out of that line right there is, again, coming back to what I was saying earlier, is that in this moment, with this line, he's basically saying, in my opinion, I am not some person who lived 2,500 years ago that wrote this down and now you're reading it and learning. I am this voice that you're hearing, these words that you're reading are coming from within the deepest part of all of us, which is always the same, right? It doesn't matter the personality that grew out of that. That is the mind arising out of what is beyond it, consciousness. So when he says here, if you want to know me, look inside your heart, he's basically saying, I am within you. This knowledge, this information is within you. But again, the only way to access it is not through this reading, listening to this podcast, intellectual understanding, philosophical debating, scientific exploration. It just does not come that way. It's about really, really deep looking, which is something that has been a theme that's been coming up lately on the podcast. Last two or three episodes, been talking about this deep looking, right? And that, of course, comes, as I always say, through a strong meditation practice, strong mindfulness practice that happens consistently over time, right? It's not just like sitting once and, oh, there it is, I found it. No, unfortunately, I mean, maybe that'll happen for some people, extraordinary, people. But for most of us, it builds over time, weeks, months, years, and years and years of practice. Something starts to happen within this shift in consciousness that comes that really you can't explain it to someone else. You can't put it into words. I mean, you may be really eloquent, you may be able to use words to describe it in a very clear way that may motivate others, inspire others, and that's nice to do that, but you cannot cause that change in consciousness, that full change in consciousness through words, right? That's something that you have to do the work. You have to sit down, and like he says here, you have to look inside your heart. And there is when the real magic happens. And I think that that's the whole message of this little chapter that kind of I've been talking about repeatedly, right? Is that the intellect will not grasp it. If you try to just practice this like a set of rules, you're not going to get it. If you try to, to take it a bit further from, for example, like some of the Zen stuff, is you cannot pick up, a Zen book or sit in a class with a Zen master, have him talk, 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 and suddenly you're going to walk out of there a Zen master. Like I said, it just does not work that way. It's about realizing it for yourself. So in a way, which is maybe a little bit more a reflection of my own beliefs and my own personality, this may not be the ultimate truth, But I find that for individuals who have a little bit of a rebellious nature when it comes to spiritual truth, and they don't just take someone else's word for it, like, why should I believe you, right? Zen is a perfect fit because they say, no, don't believe me. In fact, belief is not going to help you at all, right? It's about sitting and digging deep and figuring it out for your damn self. That's really the key thing. And that's been one of my favorite things about this practice, is that it's about your own direct experience. And that's exactly what I think he's saying in this short little chapter. So I hope that you found this helpful today, like I said, in your practice. Again, if you ever want to reach out to me, use the methods I described a little bit ago. Stay tuned. I'll be back later this week with another episode. And have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.